It is awesome to be here with you guys tonight. My name is Shannon. My wife, Susan, and I are missionaries in Otavalo, Ecuador. And Marie, if you're wondering why my wife didn't stand during praise and worship, she has had foot surgery, and we're still recovering from that. So just remember her in your prayers. It's not because she's sour and mad at God. She's worshiping. She just can't stand for very long periods of time. But it is an honor and a privilege to be here with you guys tonight. And good to see Jason and his wife and Brother Mike. I think that's him. There he is. My eyes are failing. But it is an awesome opportunity to be here with you guys tonight. Thank you so much for allowing us to be here, Pastor. We have just a little bit about us. We do have two kids, Ethan and Megan. Ethan is 22 and Megan is 19. They're both finishing up their first semester of their junior year at Evangel University, and they're getting ready for finals this next week. And so we're excited to be able to spend Christmas break with them this year, and haven't been able to do that in a long time. So we're excited about that. We live in a place in the northern part of Ecuador called Otavalo, and I hear you've probably seen pictures or you've heard updates of a little bit about what we've done and what we do. And Otavalo is about 2 hours north of the capital city of Quito and about 2.5 hours south of the Colombian border. Otavalo is a town that is textiles. We have the largest open air market in South America. They make everything by hand. There's alpacas and llamas. You may not see them all over the place, but everything that they make is made from that type of their wool. And so you can buy socks and pajamas, and you can buy just about anything you want in alpaca toboggans and all that kind of stuff. But Otavalo is a very unique place. Sits in a valley of three volcanoes, and it is an indigenous town. It is an indigenous community made up of the Highland Quechua Indians, and they are very short in stature, and they everybody has a ponytail. Both men and women have ponytails, so you're at a ponytail convention all the time. We stick out a lot. So anyway, tonight I want to ask you a few questions. And I'm going to tell you some stories throughout the sermon tonight, and I just want to share with you our heart and give you a little bit of insight on what we do. But I want to ask you, what does hope mean to you? What does hope mean to you? Now, tonight, we want to make sure you get a prayer card, and you can follow us on Twitter, or maybe not Twitter. I don't think it's on here. Instagram and Facebook. You can follow us in hopeforthehighlands.com. We have a website, but that is our slogan, if you will, is hope. Bringing hope to the highlands, bringing hope to people that are hopeless. But I want to ask you, what does hope mean to you? To me, hope means an expectation. Hope means Jesus Christ. Because we go into communities that are, in the physical sense or in the literal sense, they are hopeless. They go into, there are communities that have no church whatsoever. Not even the Catholic Church. Ecuador is their national religion is Catholicism. But there are so many mountain communities, and where we live, we work in these mountain communities where there are no religious, no church buildings, there are no structures at all where people can go and to receive any kind of hope. How many churches did you drive by to get here tonight? Or on a daily basis, how many do you drive by? You see, I believe hope is an expectation. But how do you have an expectation if you don't know about it? Psalms chapter 33 and verse 20 says, "We put our hope in the Lord. He is our help and our shield." Psalms 119 verse 114 says, "You are my refuge and my shield. Your word is my source of hope. Your word is the source of my hope. How did you get here tonight? Somebody took time and invested in you. Am I right? Somebody told you about a hope in a man or in a God, in the Trinity, a hope in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, which brought you to a place of where you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, or you wouldn't be here tonight. You're here because of a hope that was given to you. Otavalo is a very unique place. We live in Otavalo, and I don't. You can look at several websites and try to find out the population of Otavalo, and roughly it says anywhere from 50,000 to 90,000 people. We're thinking it's on the lower end of that because we think they're including some of the higher communities just outside the city. But Otavalo is a very, very dark place. Very dark. Witchcraft is so real. It's part of their culture. It's part of their life. They go to church on Sunday and they'll want to go to the witch doctor on Monday. It's just part of their being, you know, and you talk to people on the streets or your friends that your acquaintances that you've established relationships with, you begin to talk with them and you begin to hear their stories of how that their grandparents or even their parents, people that are our age, they're talking about their parents that are still observing some of those things, even though they believe that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Some of the things that we do a lot of vacation Bible school. Vacation Bible school is our way in. I know these guys that came from here, we did a vacation Bible school in the community where we base out of. And I'm going to get to a little about that in just a little bit, but vacation Bible school. You know, growing up in church, you hear, well, if you get the kids, you'll get the parents. That's true. That's true in Ecuador. We do vacation Bible schools and communities will open their door. You come and do a vacation. Come and do something with our kids. We have clowns. We have balloons. We have candy. And even the adults, they come as well. And they're sitting on the sides in their indigenous dress. They're sitting up against the sides in these community homes where we're in these communities where we are. And they're wanting a sucker too. They're wanting a balloon animal. And you see them, they're laughing. You know, we got clowns and we're doing fun games and everything. And these adults are sitting over there against the wall, sucking on their sucker or eating their Laffy Taffy or whatever they got. And they are enjoying it because they have no entertainment other than a couple of gringos coming into this community acting like something out of a cartoon book. But it's hope. You see the smiles on their face and it's hope to them. You see the smile and the happiness and the laughter that's coming out of their beings and they're illuminating. And it's not nothing that we're doing. It's something that Christ is doing in them through a skit, through a game, through a sucker on a stick, through a balloon animal. This is the hope that we're bringing to the people of Ecuador. Vacation Bible school, as I've said, is our way in. One of our biggest project right now is a training center. We're building a training center. It's going to be a place for kids. It's going to be a refuge. The scripture that we read in Psalms 119, it's going to be a refuge, a place of safety. It's going to be a place where they can be fed physically, a place where they can be fed spiritually. Physical abuse in women, it is rampant. And they need a place. They're losing their traditions. They're losing their way to make, you know, they get married at a young age, they have kids, and they're expected to stay home all the time and cook for their husbands who are out working. And while they're doing this, they're at home doing nothing because they've not been taught, they've not kept their traditions up. So this training center is going to be a way that we can reintroduce them and teach them a trade. Teach them how to crochet, or is it crochet? or knit or however. That's how they make a lot of their things. So teach them how to knit. Teach them how to sew. Teach them how to do things with their hands where they can make a living for themselves when their husband leaves them with a house full of kids. It's not only going to be that, it's going to be a Bible school. Because these communities that we're going in, they need a place where we can teach them and train them to reach the people in the highlands of Ecuador. To reach their, who better to reach than their own communities than themselves? But how will they go if they're not trained? That's our big ministry. That's our big project right now. Witchcraft. Witchcraft is in every community. You know, there's a shaman in every Quechua community. There is a witch doctor in every Quechua community. In San Juan Alto is the community where we base out of, is where we're establishing a ministry. We have a building the training center there. Not long after we moved there, you being in the ministry for a very long time, you think you know what spiritual warfare is. But I had no idea what spiritual warfare was until I moved to Otavalo. Not long after we moved there, began to have dreams and wake up in the middle of the night where you feel like there's a rope tightening around your neck. And it was very, very real. Dreams, or, you know, waking up with a dark figure standing at the foot of your bed. Had a dream one night that only way to explain it, it was a very real dream. But I could take you to the place in Ecuador, in Otavalo, where I was in my Speed the Light vehicle and I was driving around this city block. And there were balls of fire outside my vehicle all around. And they were kept trying to open the door and get in the truck with me. And I kept grabbing the door and slamming the door, just keeping them out. And eventually, one of them got in on the passenger side and got in and kept trying to grab my steering wheel and to cause an accident, trying to cause me to wreck. And the only thing that I could do was to quote scripture. And all I said was, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I am covered by the blood of Jesus. And I woke up. And I woke up and I had peace. Peace like I never understood. And I was able to lay back down and go back to sleep peacefully. The next morning, it was Saturday. That was a Saturday night. And the next morning I was at church. And the pastor, she got up and she was saying, at the end of the sermon, she said, I want you, Pastor Shannon, would you stand and give just a testimony, give a word this morning? And as I stood, the only thing I could think of was, you need to share your dream. So I began to share my dream and everything that had happened in that dream. And she began to cry. She began to cry. She said, Pastor, when I got through, she said, Pastor Shannon, the exact same dream that you had last night, I had the very same dream. And God woke me up and said, the enemy is trying to kill Pastor Shannon. You need to pray for him right now. That's God. That's God. You know, we tend to think about, when we talk about bad things and we talk about witchcraft, I don't want you to think that witchcraft is weak by any means, but I don't want this to be the theme of the sermon tonight. I don't want you to leave here tonight and think, well, all he talked about was witchcraft. Let me tell you, the power of the God that we serve is greater than any demon in the pit of hell. The scripture that I quoted in my dream, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. That is true. Everything in this book, from Holy Bible to genuine leather, is the breath of God. If it says it, I believe it. So if it says no weapon formed against me shall prosper, I believe that. I believe when you say the name of Jesus, he's got to flee. I believe that. San Juan Alto, the community where we're building this community, this training center. We have kids programs on Friday afternoons where we feed 40, sometimes 50 kids. We feed them a meal. We do a Bible study with them. We play games with them. Some of these kids go 3 to 4 days without a meal. And all they look for, we wish we had enough funds where we could furnish a meal every single day, but that is just not possible. But one day a week, they have that promise of knowing, that hope of knowing that there's going to be a hot meal at the church in San Juan Alto that they'll get, and they'll get to hear about the hope of Jesus Christ. We started the discipleship class in the church, and how many believe discipleship is important? If you don't know what to do, how can you do it? Teaching these people to reach their own community. Teach their own to reach their community. There was one night that the pastor of this community, she was awakened at about 1:30 in the morning to what was something on the roof of her house. And in the part of her house, it's just a tin roof, but there's a clear piece of tin. Like a sunlight. I don't know the word in English. You know what I'm talking about? It allows the light to come in. It's not clear, but it's skylight type deal. And she could see, she said it was scratching on the roof and trying to rip the tin off her roof to get into the room with her. And she ran outside. And her mom, if you knew her mom, she is a prayer warrior. A prayer warrior. And she gets out there and she looks up and what seems to be looks like a giant wolf on the roof of her home. And it's trying to tear the roof off just to get in there to destroy her. And at that moment, she recognized and realized that it was the demonic power trying to kill them. And they begin to pray. They bound together. How many know the Bible says where two or three are gathered in His name that He would be in the midst? And as they begin to pray and call out on the name of Jesus, they said, "Devil, you have to leave." And that wolf-like creature walked off the backside of the home and disappeared. A little bit about that. On the backside of that home lives the witch doctor, which is the pastor's uncle. All the time, he cannot stand that family. He goes by and just says, "You're going to, you know, the grandma, the mom, you're going to die within 6 months. I can't stand you people." And what's crazy is he was raised in a Christian home. He was married in a Christian church. Not too long after that, he was in cahoots with the president of the community. And they decided they were going to pick on this family. And they were going to take 4 meters of their land, which is about 12 feet. And it was already part of a home. It was part of their home. They were going to have to tear down part of their home to give them. And they said, "Well, we need an easement to get to this property back there." But there was already an easement there. But they wanted more. They just wanted to pick on this family. And the pastor called me right before. She called me one afternoon. She said, "Pastor Shannon, you got to pray. They've called an emergency meeting. These people in this community are fixing to vote, and they're going to take this land from us. You need to pray." And I said, "Pastor, you need to remember when you walk into that community house, you need to walk in with the authority of God." I said, "We'll be praying." She called me back later and she said, "Pastor, when we got there, we walked 2 times around that community home and we prayed the power of God over that place." She said, "We went in for the meeting," and she said the meeting started. The leaders of the community, they came up and they were saying, "Okay, let's vote. Let's take this land from them." And nobody moved. This is a community of about 150, 200 people. And they said nobody moved. Nobody said a word. The meeting carried on. The leadership of the community, they just got mad at each other. And they just said, "Well, we're just, this meeting is adjourned. This is over. And we'll talk about this later." And they all left and they all were outside and they began to talk to each other. And the people that didn't say anything, they began to ask the people of the church, "What did you do to us? We couldn't open our mouth. We couldn't raise our arms to vote. We couldn't do anything. What did you do to us?" That is the hope of Jesus Christ. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. We work in a community called Iluman. Iluman is the witch doctor capital of Ecuador. Some people say, well, you just pick fights. No, I don't pick fights. But I believe this is a God thing. Illuman has about 50 witch doctors, 50 shamans that live in this community. This last summer, we had the privilege of doing a vacation Bible school there. We got acquainted with a Christian family that have, that we've helped them establish a kids ministry on Sunday afternoons. So we were doing this vacation Bible school. We were only going to get to do it 2 days. And they said, how many, you know, we had to prepare. How many are you going to have? Well, we're saying 20 at the top. So we were prepared for 20, and we get there, and there's already over 20 kids there. Before we begin the vacation Bible school this day, the first day, there were 75 kids that came the first day. Our theme for the week, or for the 2 days, was the armor of God. Now, at the end of the second day, they were all going to have their armor of God. The breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation, all that. They were going to have that, and they were going to go home into these shamans' homes, into these witch doctors' homes. Can you get that in your head? They were going to walk the streets of this community that is filled with darkness, that is filled with witchcraft, and they were going to walk into these homes. Many of them were kids and grandkids of the shamans in that community. The second day, we went back. We didn't know what to expect. Usually when you do something like that, the second day they figure out what you've been doing, what you're telling them, so you're probably going to have 4 kids. That's what we were thinking. The second day, we had 95 kids in this community. They wouldn't let us drive the streets and invite people. We have a speed light speaker that we hold outside the truck, the speed light truck, and we go through the streets and we're announcing vacation Bible school, come on, and they usually come out. But they wouldn't let us. But they said, you can go to our roof. You can go to our roof. So we took the speaker and we went to the roof. And you could see kids. It was on a mountainside, this community. And you could see kids running down the street way up there with their armor on, with their breastplate of righteousness. They're getting it down the mountain, down the streets to get there to do vacation Bible school one last day. That's hope in Jesus Christ. That's the hope. That's why we do what we do. Another community, Yambiro. Yambiro is a community where, again, we've been allowed to do vacation Bible school. We've had loaded up the back of the speed light truck just overflowing with kids to go to vacation Bible school. This community just runs along a ridge of a mountain, long ways. And we'd hold that speaker outside. And we'd drive all the way up. And on the way back down, they'd be on the side of the road jumping in the back of the truck. Jumping in the back of the truck. We're fixing it. When we get back, we're going to plant a church in that community. We're going to build a church in the middle. This church, this community has no church whatsoever. You see, reaching communities, building a training center, building a Bible school, training leaders for them to go into their own communities so we can plant churches and bring hope to the hopeless. Why do we do what we do? Because as Psalms 33 verse 20 says, we put our hope in the Lord. It's not my power. It's not my power. It's not my words. It's nothing that I can do. It's the hope of Jesus Christ. It says He is our help and our shield. I can't do it without His help. We can't do it without His help. We can't do it when we're under attack. He is our shield and our protection. How can we not do it? I know my grandparents have always said, somebody else will do it. You don't have to go. You don't have to go. They're up in their 80s. You stay here. Your kids need you. Why? How can I not? How can we not do it? How can we not go? How can we not know when you see a kid's face, When you look in the mirror of your truck and you're driving down, you're driving in this community, you're announcing speed light, the back of that speed light vehicle is already full of kids. How do you not do what you do when you look in your mirror and you see a little kid? I don't know if you can see him. There's a little kid. He's running as hard as he can. And he's saying, and the kids in the back of the truck, they're slapping the cab. Don't, hey, wait on my friend. Wait on my brother. Wait on my cousin. Wait, wait, wait. And he's screaming at the top of his lungs. Wait on me. Wait on me. How can we not do what we do when you look in your mirror and you see that? And that's just one instant. I just happened to have my phone out and I was able to take that picture. How can we not do that? How can we not spread the hope of Jesus Christ to a community that has never heard of Jesus Christ himself? Do you know there are 609,000 Quechua Indians in Ecuador? Less than 2% have ever heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. That means only about 12,000 people in the Quechua community have a relationship or even know about Jesus Christ. How can we not do what we do when you look in your mirror and you see that running after you? When you look off the mountain and in this community alone, I don't know if you can tell, but just on the left side, that is a straight drop-off. And you can see houses all the way down there. And you see parents, as you're driving through, you see parents, they're screaming, they're waving their arms. Wait, 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 my kids are coming. My kids are coming. And you can see the trails running, and there's about 10 kids all in line running as hard as they can to get to the road so they can get in the back of that truck. And so they can get to the community center where they can hear of the hope of Jesus Christ. You tell me, why do we not do what we do? Or why we do what we do? It's because of that right there. It's because of that right there. And it's because, you'll run, go ahead and run the video. It's because of these people and these faces right here.
He's awakening the hope in me by calling forth my destiny. He's breathing life into my soul. I will thirst for him and him alone. He has come like the showers on the barren plain, so my heart, tongue confess, Jesus Christ, the hope of man, my hope.
Those are the faces that have never heard the hope of Jesus until we got there. And I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. And I'm not trying to blow us up to be something super, because we're not. We're just people that have said yes to a calling that God has placed on our life. We've been missionaries in Ecuador now for over 7 years. Has it been easy? No. Has it been fun? You better believe it. It's been the most rewarding occupation, calling. We've pastored, we've youth pastored, and we had a blast doing that. But I believe this is what we were made to do. This is what God called us to do. And my grandparents, you know, they said, you know, you need to come back here and you need to stay. They got to come. Our first term, they got to come and visit and see what we do. We went to church on Sunday morning, all the way from church back to our home. They cried. And they said, you're exactly where you need to be. You're exactly where you need to be. People say, well, how can we help? How can we help ministry in Ecuador? How can we help the Pruitts? Three ways. We need your prayers. That's a given. We need your prayers. But we need your help financially. We need monthly support. Your offering tonight is going to go to help us get back there as soon as possible. But we can't go and we can't do what God's called us to do without people and churches like yourself. And the third thing, as I mentioned, we're building a training center. Building a training center is one expense. But another expense is going to be training the people, buying the literature, equipping them, getting them ready, and then sending them back into the communities. Several people have asked, well, how much would it cost to equip one pastor, one leader to go into a community? For the next 4 years, we have come up with a figure. I've talked with several other colleagues. It's going to be roughly about $2,000 to train a pastor. That's his literature. That's his coming and staying at the training center. That's his food, housing, and that's his transportation to and from the mountain communities where we live and work. Those are the ways that you can help us. We have prayer cards. All the information that you need is on the back. We'll be at the back after church. We'd be willing to share anything. If you have questions about anything, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter. I have a Twitter account, Instagram, and we also have a website. Feel free to contact us. Would you pray with us? Take this prayer card. Whenever you see it, put it in your Bible, put it on your refrigerator, wherever you need to see it, to remember to pray for Shannon and Susan. Because we need your prayers. We need your help to get back to Ecuador as soon as possible.